Click kaya959.co.za to download the Kaya Biz podcast.
You're listening to Kaya Biz here on Kaya959 with myself, Kukuletu Mfupi. One company that is printing money, investing money, and of course finding new ways to actually unlock potential for us to participate in their ecosystem is Zeda. This is a company that came out of the Barlow World Stable earlier on in 2022, independently listed on the Johannesburg Stock Exchange, and now has been thriving. Essentially, it takes care of key vehicle hiring brands in South Africa, Avis and Budget. And the reason why I mention this is because when we take a look at the vehicle hiring space, we often take a look at the kind of vehicle brands we have access to, the pricing and competitiveness. But tonight we're going to go deep down into their financial numbers, essentially taking a look at the gross profit that they saw increasing by more than 3%, an increase as well in the dividend that they've paid out to their shareholders, and some interesting insights that they're witnessing within the changing landscape of the vehicle manufacturing industry in the country. To tell us more, we are joined by the CEO of Zeda, Ramasela Ganda. Ramasela, welcome back to the show. Always exciting to speak to you, man.
Very excited to have this conversation with you, Gugu. Thank you very much for having me.
It sounds like you have a good news story to share, right? Because when we take a look at the key metrics of your business, headline earnings per share up by 15%. We also do see that there has been an increase as well within your operations, looking at leasing revenue specifically, also up by 15%. Despite some pressure points, it's been a solid turnaround and outcome all around.
It is indeed, and it's all thanks to, you know, our operating model, our ability to read the market, predict where the things are going, where the market is going, and really act in an appropriate way. I mean, if you think about the automotive industry that we've operating in, you know, we saw a lot of new vehicles coming in, we saw new brands coming in, and competition from that space has been really hard and has impacted us on the car rental business. But you know, the advantage of buying in a large scale like we did, we were able to see the prices and in that way inform how we manage the residual value and the resale value of the vehicles at the end of the chain. And that ability has really yielded the kind of return that if, with revenue at 1.7% up, but operating profit that has been 10.8%, that's really a combination of understanding of our business in the market.
Let's talk a little deeper about your business. Many of us interact with your brands as consumers looking to get a quick vehicle to run around over a certain period of time or even within different cities. But your fleet business, Ramasela, is a feather in your cap. This is essentially where you help big businesses hire large trucks of significance to move the foods and products and services that we require across the country effectively. And this is where your revenue increased by just over 15% to 3.2 billion. And from what I understand, leasing activity even outside of our borders has also improved significantly. Help us unpack what's going there. Is this an indicator of the economic performance and vibrancy of logistics we see in the country?
And to that point, Gugu, if we look at the, you know, the economy in Zambia and the activity we're seeing in Zambia, we cannot even keep up because, you know, Zambia's got a longer lead time in getting those fleet. If we didn't have that longer lead time because they do not have a manufacturer on site, I'm sure the numbers will have been even higher because our order book is quite long and it's quite good. So that business is a clear indication of what is happening in the economy. We look at the heavy commercial, you know, the kind of activity and the book that we're sitting in that we're continuously writing is actually saying, you know, even in tough environment, business is still continuing. And we're really seeing it in agriculture, despite the tariff issue that started happening at the beginning of the year, that towards the end of the year, you know, the region that we're operating in is very resilient. And while you're seeing things are against us, we continue to see the upswing.
That's very important for us to mark because it's quite telling about growth in the economy. Let's talk about the U.S. tariffs, as you've alluded to it. And this did have a negative impact largely on the automotive value chain. Help us contextualize where the delays were, how substantial they have been, and if they've influenced your numbers at all.
Look, I think the one area where it was really pronounced is when we look at the leasing industry and different industry. And when we look at even beyond the tariffs, the donor funding that countries like Lesotho depends on, you know, one of the critical issues that we looked at was the impact that the donor funding will have. you know, the withdrawal of it in those countries. And yes, we took a, you know, slowdown early in the year, but as I say, the resilience that came with it, we saw started seeing agriculture coming back in the automotive industry. What, you know, most of our, you know, OEMs that we have, especially now that we have got Chinese in South Africa, we've got a lot of Japanese activity happening. We really did not have a major impact. Where the impact happened was on the luxury side of the business, which really had a lot of activity with the US and the after sales part of it. That's where you saw, you know, parts supply that really hit hard early in the half year of the financial year. But all in all, I think there are clear signs that yes, you know, we were shaken in the first part of the year, but in the second half, you know, we're seeing a very resilient region that despite all those challenges and with new entrants like Chinese getting into invent, you know, blocking and really doing subsidy, that the donor funding has come back from the Chinese side of things, that, you know, we see activity picking up again.
On that, Ramasela, the last time I spoke to you here on the show, I asked you why you don't have any Chinese brands on your website or in your fleet, especially on the consumer segment. Is this likely to change? And are there any influences playing and unfolding within the industry at large that could shape this too?
Look, Google, I think one of the message we were pushing as Zeda is about sustainability. Mm-hmm. Yes, we manage the residual value risk, we manage the maintenance risk, but it is critical for the Chinese as well, in especially the large one. You know, the old ones that have been in South Africa supporting them, but the responsibility of the supplier to make sure that they've got a car park, they've got job creation, it's still at the core of everything that we do. That, you know, as much as, you know, shareholders' return is important, but the sustainable shareholders' return, because the market that is supporting us, they're supporting us because they're working at factories, they're working at different areas. So if we do not look and stand for that market, we will suffer. It will be a temporary satisfaction, but a long-term negative impact for us.
I understand what you mean. And I think this is important for us to emphasize and underscore that it's the full stream of the value chain, right? The manufacturing of the vehicles, which we prefer to be in South Africa to stimulate job creation, not only demand from a consumer point of view, but also long-term sustainability when it comes to the aftermarket environment, because you buy a car once off, but many of us keep it for a lot longer. And the sustainability of servicing the car, having support for parts and service is also critical. Are you engaging with any peers or industry stakeholders at a government level just to see how best we keep the sustainability going?
Yes, it's at the top of our mind every time, because we do consider ourselves as a very big player in this market and very influential in it. And in that way, hence we have our voice is registered even now with the G20 participating heavily, not as a mobility provider only, but as a responsible corporate citizen that says, you know, it is important that we look after Africa and we look at after it in a more responsible way.
To close off with, maybe let's take a look at the opportunities that do exist north of our borders. Ghana has been a market of growth, as you've mentioned, Zambia together with Lesotho as well. Are there still further growth prospects here? And what does that entail for your capital rollout?
Okay, the challenge is the speed of execution for us and for the OEM supply.
That's
opportunities
a nice problem
and growth.
To have,
it is really, we're sitting on a good problem, and it's really threatening our base. When we start looking at, you know, the opportunities, I mean, I spent a couple of days in Ghana a couple of weeks ago, and, and really, when you look at it and you see opportunities, I came with a bigger book than previously, but it's how quickly we can execute.
Got you. Well, all the best. We look forward to seeing how these opportunities do unfold and develop and how South Africans can also make a difference. I guess on that note, before I let you go, very briefly, we are headed to the festive season. What's demand looking like? I can imagine many South Africans and holiday makers planning to use your vehicles.
Look, if you're going to Cape Town, you better be booking now to avoid the disappointment. So that is still very critical. And one of the things that we're seeing, you know, you know, when we look at Eastern Cape, we know there's the Giti, and we are almost, you know, all out of cars in PE and Tata because the Giti supply. And we're looking at, you know, Limpopo when people are talking about visiting Boma. Look, it is critical. So for us, when we look at the business now, is really talking to the market and talking to them in the language that they understand and the supply. But Cape Town is by far the most difficult place to find a car in the next season.
Oh, wow. Ramasela, thank you for making it practical. For us, we appreciate it. And letting it hit close to home. I guess this means your phone will be on silent, even if we try to call you to say, I'm calling head office. Ramasela will make a plan.
If there's one place time I don't take leave, is this period.
it makes sense, because it's a very busy time. Always such a pleasure speaking to you, ma'am. Appreciate your insight and time and commitment to the South African economy as well. It is not taken for granted.
Thank you very much.
Ramasela Ganda, CEO of Zeda, joining us there to help us unpack the numbers. Zeda, as you've heard, is a business that does own the operations of Avis and Budget Car Hire. But beyond the vehicles that you and I will hire, whether it's a Suzuki Swift or some kind of 4x4 or even a Bucky to help you with your moving, they also help big businesses in terms of their fleet. So the next time you see any kind of major truck on the road moving groceries, moving alcohol, moving some kind of agricultural product, bear in mind that this is also where they play within the logistics space at a continental level. It goes beyond just how you and I might need a vehicle for the weekend, but also keeping goods moving in economies. And that, as we know, is one of the lifelines of any economy to thrive. The movement of goods and services, access to markets, and as Ramasela has described, there's a lot of growth opportunities north of our borders on the continent. So good news story all around, and I think gives us better perspective around the operations of the business. As you've heard, Mgidi season in the Eastern Cape, Bomma in Limpopo, Cape Town, if you're going to have a good time, best you hire that car now. Otherwise, you just might be left stranded.
Click kaya959.co.za to download the Kaya Biz podcast.